right now on VFN TV. We're going to go to the Value Voters Summit today. You want to hear Gary Bauer talk specifically about what took place at the Kavanaugh hearings. You're going to be really surprised, and you're going to understand the season we're in right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster. Listen, we're going to go right to something so powerful, the Value Voters Summit. Gary Bauer is breaking down specifically what we learned and what we saw at the Kavanaugh hearings. It's time for us to learn and understand the season that we're in. We're making a huge decision what we're going to do on November the 6th when we vote. As a matter of fact, let's go to the Value Voters Summit now.
Thank you. What a fantastic crowd. Well, I got up this morning. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I decided I was going to come in here and give one of those rah-rah speeches that I love to give and that you've always loved to hear. And it's a lot of fun for everybody. But then the events started taking place over the last couple of weeks. And I can't give a rah-rah speech. I want to talk about this moment in American history, in this moment in Washington, D.C., I've been here almost as long, maybe even a little longer than Senator McConnell, I'm sorry to say. As you all know, I was 6'2" when I first came here. I want to give you a little bit of a reminder about the history that we've gone through on the Supreme Court. 1987, Ronald Reagan nominates Robert Bork to the Supreme Court, an intellectual giant, a man that was admired by everybody in this city. He goes up for the hearings and they chew him to pieces. It was slash and burn from day one. Judge Bork did not have deep religious convictions at the time. He was wrestling with those things. He ended up becoming a very devout in this faith. They accused him, some Southern Democrats, oh, I can't vote for him, he's an atheist. This from a party that regularly attacks religious liberty. Judge Bork was defeated 58-42. 58-42. A few weeks later, Ronald Reagan getting advice at the White House, not wanting to go through another bitter battle like that where you wouldn't be able to know what was going to happen, nominated Anthony Kennedy to the Supreme Court. Now look, Kennedy ended up being good on some issues, but there were a whole lot of issues related to values he ended up being terrible about. You know what the vote was for Anthony Kennedy? 97-0. And of course, we paid a price for not having somebody that was more predictable in his constitutionalism. 3 years later, President George H.W. Bush nominates a guy named David Souter. I remember when the nomination was made, I thought to myself, well, I've never heard of this guy. What? You know, why do we think he's one of us? I was called over to the White House to meet with somebody that shall remain nameless. He knows who he is. I know who he is. We had this long conversation. Gary, he said, this guy's going to be fantastic. He's one of us. I said, well, can you give me anything, an article, a letter to the editor? I can't find anything. Gary, that's the whole point here. He's a stealth candidate. You see, that became the strategy of Republicans for many years. Nominate somebody without any record and convince all of us to go along with it. Well, it ended up that Justice Souter was so stealth, he didn't even know he was a conservative. Justice Souter was the kind of Supreme Court justice that Barack Obama would have been proud to put on the Supreme Court, a tremendous lost opportunity. 1 year later, George H.W. Bush, perhaps trying to make up his previous mistake, cheered all of us when he nominated Clarence Thomas to be to the Supreme Court. And I remember what happened to Judge Bork. And I wanted to do something to make sure that didn't happen again. So I registered a group with the IRS called the Citizens Committee to confirm Clarence Thomas. And we raised some money and we started running ads, particularly in southern states where there were Southern Democrat senators, to try to make sure they didn't weasel out and fall in line between behind the leftists that ran their party even back then. And the hearing that Clarence Thomas went through, it was a tough hearing, but all along the way, he was answering every question. I knew Clarence from the Department of Education. Almost every conservative in town knew him, respected him, admired him. And then at the end of the hearing, when everything was almost finished, all of a sudden, there's a surprise witness, Anita Hill. A woman, a young woman that had worked in his office on several different assignments that he had. She, in fact, had followed him from the Department of Education to the next place that he went. And she did not allege any kind of physical assault. She alleged inappropriate verbal conversations that he brought up, something that would be called boorish behavior. But it was earth-shattering at the time. The media immediately started saying, this man is over. He's finished. He ought to withdraw. And let me tell you, my friends, there were people in the White House that wanted him to withdraw his name. But he had been besmirched. He wasn't going to do that. Clarence Thomas is a fighter. I remember meeting with him. I don't remember the exact circumstances, but saying to him, yeah, Clarence, I just have one question. Is any of this true? No, it isn't, Gary. That's all I need to know. And I remember on the day that Clarence Thomas was going to respond to the charges of Anita Hill, I remember being in an anteroom in a Senate before he was going to walk down the hallway into that hearing room. I walked down the hallway with him, and at the end of the hallway, there were all these media lights, all the cameras, and we could see way down at the end of the hall light, there was a crowd, and there were chants going on, and a lot of noise being made, and I thought to myself, this is going to be a tough, tough day. But as we got closer to the end of the hall, it wasn't the kind of people we saw there at the end of the hall, like the people we saw in the hearings that were held for Judge Kavanaugh, the people screaming, trying to stop the committee hearings from going forward. At the end of the hall were tourists, people that were in Washington because they saved, in many cases, for years to bring their family here. They couldn't get a ticket to get into the hearing, but they knew that Judge Thomas, Clarence Thomas, was going to be responding to those charges. And they were at the end of the hall, and when we rounded the corner, they started applauding for him, yelling out his name, people yelling, we're praying for you, we're praying for you. And Clarence Thomas, with that being the last thing he saw, walked into that hearing room, sat down at that chair, and confronted those senators. I'd love to read to you his entire testimony. It was powerful. I'll just read one paragraph. Some of you will remember part of this paragraph. Imagine him. Imagine this young man that had grown up in poverty, raised by a single mother, had overcome all kinds of problems to get to the level where he was. But he had made one mistake in his life. He was a black American willing to defend conservative principles. And that is why they needed to stop him. This is what he said. This is not an opportunity to talk about difficult matters privately or in a closed environment. This is a circus. That's what we're going through now, a circus. It's a national disgrace. And from my standpoint, he said, as a black American, it is a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who in any way deign to think for themselves, to do for themselves, to have different ideas. And it is a message that unless you kowtow to an old order, this is what will happen to you. You will be lynched, destroyed, caricatured by a committee of the U.S. Senate, rather than hung from a tree. Yeah. You should have seen the faces of some of those senators. Guys like, at that point, Senator Biden. Some of the senators that did not expect this man to courageously confront what they were trying to do to him. I didn't get a chance after the hearing to go up and look at the seats, but I bet if I could have, there would have been some wet spots.
So powerful. He was quoting Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, and it was an amazing event that was taking place. This is Gary Bauer. Guess what? We are not leaving this. We're going to come back after the break. But don't forget, go to vfnkb.com/vote. Get registered to vote. Vote. Make sure you're there November the 6th to be able to vote. Let your voices be heard. When we get back from this break, we're going to hear firsthand, we're going to hear the rest of what Gary Bauer has to say about breaking down the realities, what it means for you to participate in the process and your values and your votes. Join us at the break.
We'll be right back.
We are about to shift America. We're about to shift the United States. We're in a threshold. We're in this destiny where the balance is right before our eyes, and the great God within us is going to shift our nation. It's going to shift our nation. The young generation would be raised in the faith of the Son of God, in the faith of the Son of God, who chose.
When God established the institution of marriage, He established it to reflect His image and expand His kingdom, and out of that He said, I will bless them.
Today on Focus on the Family Minute, God's desire for your marriage. Here's Dr. Tony Evans.
So unless we are mirroring God's purposes and advancing His cause, we are not fulfilling the reason why He instituted the institution in the first place. So that opens up the door for the enemy to come in, create division, separate us from God, and create civilizational chaos, conflict, and disintegration. Because as goes the family, and the marriage is the foundation of the family, so goes the culture, and we're watching that happen before our eyes.
Hear more from Dr. Tony Evans about having a positive impact through your marriage at FamilyMinute.org.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Listen, we're going to go back to Gary Bauer, the Value Voters Summit. We're hearing specifically how important these judiciary appointments are and how to be able to perceive them. But first, remember, it's so important to vote. Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, is reminding us not only to vote, but to pray. As a matter of fact, take a look. Pray. Don't forget to pray. So very important. Listen, we're going to go back to the Value Voters Summit. And we're going to hear Gary Bauer breaking down how important it is, because everybody at some point in their life have to appear before a judge for some reason, whether it's civil, whether it's criminal, whatever it is. But you get to choose who those judges are based on who you actually vote for and your leadership. Let's go back to Gary Bauer, Value Voters Summit.
Clarence Thomas was confirmed to the Supreme Court of the United States. And year after year after year, not out of revenge, But year after year, he has followed the Constitution. He has made me proud, you proud. When the history books that matter are written, it will show that because of Clarence Thomas's fifth vote, time and time again, this country is a better place than it would have been otherwise. Now let's go 2 years later. Bill Clinton, June of 1993, nominates Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg had been a lawyer and official in the American Civil Liberties Union. Her name was on briefs and on documents and on memos promoting policies that in many cases 80% of the American people would disagree with. And so she comes up before the United States Senate just a couple of years after they tried to do what they tried to do to Clarence Thomas. Wouldn't you think the Republican senators back then would say, well, now, wait a minute, this woman is outside the mainstream? No, what happened, sadly, when you go back and look at it, was a bunch of Republican senators that wanted to prove that, unlike the other guys, they were gentlemen. Some of them said, well, you know, Ms. Ginsburg, I don't agree with you on many issues, but the president has a right to put on the Supreme Court who he wants to put on, as if that would buy them equity the next time there was a Republican president. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 2 years after Clarence Thomas, was confirmed by a vote of 96-3. Shame is exactly right. Now look, that brings us up to today. This is a travesty. I cannot imagine what it has felt like for Judge Kavanaugh to be in that hearing room with some of the things that have been pulled. I mean, and it's almost like political waterboarding. That's what our confirmation process has become. And look at some of the specific senators. And almost, by the way, almost all the people I'm naming are people that want and believe they've got a great chance to become the next leftist, progressive president of the United States. Let's take a look at Senator Booker. Senator Booker announced at the hearing that he was going to break the committee rules and release confidential documents that were supposed to be eyes only for the committee members. And then he went on and released those documents. And the next morning, went on CNN, not realizing that when he released the documents, there had already been negotiations between the two staffs, the Democrat and Republican, and the documents had already been cleared for release without the rules being violated. So he goes on CNN bragging about, I care so much, I was willing to break the rules of the Senate in order to get this information out. And even on CNN, the interviewer says, well, Senator, isn't this some grandstanding? Because the information we have is that these were not confidential documents. My friends, if you get a chance, bring up the interview. Senator Booker gets mad because he's being accused of following the rules. He starts shouting, no, that's not true. They weren't allowed to be released. I broke the rules. I broke the rules. And when the interviewer said, sir, no, you didn't. He said, well, then I'll release more documents this afternoon. Can you imagine if your 10-year-old happened to walk into the living room during this and he said to you, Daddy, why is that senator bragging about breaking the rules? I'll give Senator Booker credit for this. He knows the current grassroots of the progressive Democrat movement in this country because it's demanding that people like Senator Booker break every rule to resist the duly elected president and vice president of the United States and to overturn the election results where 63 million Americans voted for who the president is. Senator Kamala Harris, ought to be ashamed of herself. She was in the justice system. I believe she was a prosecutor out in California. She pulled one of the oldest tricks in the world, the kind of thing you would expect in some sort of dictatorship where the news is manipulated by a government. Judge Kavanaugh was asked about a case, and he said, well, one side of the case argued this, and the other party in the case argued da-da-da-da. So Senator Harris puts out a statement, and she takes out the part that indicates he was describing the views of one party of the case. And she says, did you know that Judge Kavanaugh said that he believes, and then she quoted what he was describing in the case. That's just disgusting. And when she was called on it, there was nothing resembling an apology. Because when it comes to stopping a person like Judge Kavanaugh from being on the Supreme Court, the left will do anything. You know, if you watch the hearings, that all during this back and forth, in which I thought Judge Kavanaugh did one of the most amazing jobs I've ever seen in my life in hearing those questions. And in the audience, time and time again over those days, there were these Antifa wannabes acting like little Nazis trying to shout down the hearings. Now, that's happened over the years before in Washington, D.C., but you know what also happened anytime that took place? The senators in the room of both parties would say, we would like to ask the audience to please remain quiet, or if you cannot, leave the room. This is a proceeding of the United States Senate. You are here as a guest in the hearing room. Not one Democrat senator disciplined those people in that room. The things they were yelling were so over the top that Mrs. Kavanaugh had to take their two daughters out of the room rather than let them sit there and hear the things that were being yelled at their father. And not a Democrat on the committee said a word. I could go on and on, but let's just mention one more senator. Senator Feinstein was sitting there during all of this, and in her possession was a bombshell letter. She had that letter for several months. It looks to me like it was a, quote, insurance policy. We've been hearing about lots of insurance policies, right? They had one over at the Justice Department. We're finding out more and more about that insurance policy. She sat on that letter, hoping, I suspect, that these other tactics they were using would be able to stop Judge Kavanaugh. And when it failed, then all of a sudden the letter becomes public, and now we are in the middle of this circus. I wonder if she actually had the letter in the room with her during those hearings. She could have brought it up in the hearings. She could have brought it up in the private meetings with him. She didn't do it. Now, my friends, all these cases, all these confirmation battles that we've seen over the years, you know what the main reason is. Oh, look, there's a lot of things that divide right and left, but there's one main reason. The left is scared to death that at some point there might be five justices on the Supreme Court that will actually make a ruling that could save a few babies. This is what drives them insane. That instead of 1 million abortions a year, maybe we'll only have 900,000, and that to them would be a tragedy. Think about that. Now look, is that a baby? That was a God moment right there. That was incredible. In fact, I'd like to invite that baby up here if he wants to say a few words. Look, I have sympathy, and I am praying for the accuser out in California for whatever happened in her life. And I'm sure this is a difficult time. But my friends, if you walked into a police station or an FBI agent, if you walked in anywhere and said, I have I want to report a sexual assault. Yes, ma'am. When did this happen? 36 years ago. Excuse me? 36 years ago? Yes. Do you have any eyewitnesses? Well, there are two witnesses, but they both deny it happened. Where did it happen? I don't. It was at a house, but I don't know whose house. How did you get there? I don't know how I got there. How did you get home? I don't know how I got home. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know her. I don't know her values, but I mean, what she's saying is unproven, and I would argue it's unprovable. There's reasons why most laws and most crimes have statutes of limitation. Because a week after a crime, it is difficult to reconstruct what happened. 36 years later? Now look, we can't prove what she said, but there is something we can prove, and that is Judge Kavanaugh's character. We've got decades to prove that.
Powerful, so important, understanding that, you know, a law, we have a system set up in America to understand things. And the reason why somebody would have a business and a corporation and judges, the Constitution sets up that there'd be a judiciary branch, there would be an executive branch, there'd be Congress, the legislative branch. And it's so important. Each of these things are set up. But at some point, you have to trust the process.
Hello.
You have to be able to trust the process and understand if they met all this criteria, that you can't come in like what happened prior to the Constitution, prior to 1776, you know, and the revolution that took place, to get away from that kind of mindset. When we see people creeping back in again to do that, we got to stand up, and Gary Bauer's doing it. So important. If you haven't yet, go to vfnkb.com/vote. Make sure you get out and vote. It's so important. These judges don't just pop up and apply for an ad in a newspaper somewhere or online or, you know, jobs.com. You vote for somebody to get in office, and they either become a judge because you voted for them, or you put somebody in office who appoints them as a judge. So you're actually picking the judges in your lands. That's so important, as we're finding out. It matters who you put there. They're talking about like Cory Booker and other ones. Mm. We decided to put these folks there. So you could put new folks there if you want a better, a balanced viewpoint and a constitutional and just a clean
form of government.
Form
My
of
goodness.
Government. And it's just so important. Imagine yourself being there. We got to go. We got to close. Comment below. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We love to hear from you. Father God, I pray right now for our audience. We bless them, God. We thank you for our judges, Lord, across the land. We pray, Lord, that for righteous judges, Lord, that would stand up for you and our Constitution and our country, Father God, that you would just rid our country of judges who are against our country. And then and bring in new judges who care about the people, who care about our Constitution, and honor you, Father God. And Lord, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.